The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm getting better and I'm getting better and I'm getting better and I'm feeling it right now.
And a pleasant good evening to you, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are listening to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, a fantastic show for you tonight. And a craft beer guest, local one in New Jersey, that's going to be joining me this hour. The usual news and notes to get to, but first, how can you follow me? Very easy, on Twitter, at Al Gattulo, Instagram, at Gattulo, that's GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast, via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com, and don't forget iTunes and Google Play. You just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can find all the shows on those two platforms. A little record company from their latest, I'm Getting Better and I'm Feeling It Right Now. That's from the All of This Life CD that came out just about a month or two ago. These guys are going to be playing this week, somewhere in New York City, I forgot, on the Upper West Side, over on 10th Avenue. I really want to go and see them. It's Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, but I probably am not going to get there. It's a standing room only joint. My legs have not been the best over the last several months, from all the neuropathy that I'm dealing with from recovering from my cancer. And so to stand there for hours waiting for this band to come on, because this is kind of a general admission place where you kind of get in and you have to kind of find your spot, you know, closest to the stage or near the beers or the bathroom or wherever. And then you got to stand there until they come on. And there's a couple of opening, you know, there's an act or two that'll play before the record company. So it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, do I really want to do that? So probably not going to get a chance to see them this time around, but this is a great band, the Record Company. Three-piece sets, kind of blues, jazzy, a little bit of rock and roll, but I mean, really, really good stuff. These cats really know how to swing it. So, you definitely want to check them out, if you haven't already. Now, our guest tonight on the Craft Beer Cast, Chuck Garrity, he's the co-owner of Death of the Fox Brewing down in South Jersey. And with all of the New Jersey stuff that's been happening over the last few weeks with the ruling from the New Jersey Athletic Beverage Commission, and then the public outcry and the reversal of the proposed changes, I wanted to get the take of an owner that these rules, if they were implemented right now, how it would affect his or her business. Chuck has been very vocal about it. He's done a number of different pieces for local TV in Philadelphia, down in South Jersey, newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. And wanted to get him on. Chuck was gracious enough. I shot him an email, early last week, and said, hey, can you jump on? He said, no problem. Give me a time and day, and I'm absolutely in. So we'll hear from Chuck in about 20 minutes about all of these things that are going on in New Jersey and why it's, from my perspective, it seems that the state of New Jersey wants to put to shoot themselves in the foot again on local businesses doing well. And Governor Murphy has talked about how they need to promote small business. Small business needs to thrive in the Garden State. And here is a segment of business that is doing well in New Jersey. And for some reason, they want to put a damper on it. I have my own thoughts on it. I've mentioned it before on the show. I'm going to mention it to Chuck during the interview and see what he thinks. So let's get into some news and notes, and we'll start off in New Jersey. Cape May and Left Hand have decided to collaborate on a really cool beer. They did it this past weekend, and it's available now. They have collaborated with Left Hand Brewing out of Colorado, and it's called Ties the Room Together. And if that name sounds familiar, you would be right. It has to do with the Big Lebowski. It's a white Russian-inspired cream stout. I know that Scott Wells from Bolero Snort would be very happy to drink this. It has been released for distribution in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. It just happened over the weekend. One of the cool things they did, though, this past weekend, this past Friday, they did a Big Lebowski-inspired bash at Cape May Brewing's tasting room where the Cape May Airport is. So I thought that was really cool. People came in costumes. Obviously, who's in a robe and you know, walking around maybe with a, what looks like a White Russian, but is really the White Russian inspired cream stout. Now, of course, Left Hand Brewing has been in operation since 1993. Cape May has been doing things for the last 10 years that have been really knocking it out of the park, and they're starting to make their push from South Jersey up towards North Jersey now, and more people are starting to see how good Cape May beer really is. And basically what it boiled down to was the owners of both Cape May and Left Hand had gotten together a couple of times. They decided, hey, let's try and collaborate on something. Cape May head brewer Brian Hink says we started throwing ideas out there. He threw out the idea of doing a big White Russian-inspired stout. Obviously, Left Hand has their Nitro Milk Stout, so they decided to put that together, and they went for it. So the idea for an Imperial Cream Stout flavored with coffee beans, cocoa nibs, lactose, and vanilla was a no-brainer, according to Hink. And, of course, as I mentioned, the beer inspired by the Coen Brothers' cult classic, The Big Lebowski. And for those who are not aware of The Big Lebowski, in it, the dude, Jeffrey Lebowski, quaffs multiple White Russians down while lamenting the loss of his rug in his apartment that really tied the room together. So there it is. So they released it this past Friday at the tasting room. They had this whole costume contest, inflatable bowling, collectible glassware, because bowling was a central theme in the movie. They played music from and inspired by the film by a local musician. They had The Big Lebowski playing on their TV screens. Really, really cool stuff. So it is available in stores in New Jersey and Pennsylvania now, on draft, I believe, and in cans. Definitely want to pick this one up. It's something that I certainly would like to try because I love a good stout. Now, this is really cool, and something I'm surprised that more breweries don't do, which I think would be a welcome addition when you go out to try different tasting rooms. And obviously, it depends on the locations. But Angel City Brewery in Los Angeles, them and Lyft are partnering with Los Angeles citizens this Halloween. Now, starting Friday, October 26th, customers can purchase Angel City Brewery's Loaded with Hops IPA in a limited edition Hot Pink Lyft and ACB Green 16-ounce cans that contain a $5 off code to promote a Smart Ride option from bars and restaurants throughout Los Angeles. This offer will allow one discounted ride per account for both new and existing Lyft riders. Beer lovers can purchase the Hot Pink and Green cans at a number of different places, including the brewery around Los Angeles, through the end of the year while supplies last. Now, the brewery and rideshare collaboration will not be limited to cans, but will also offer a sweepstakes for riders and drivers from November 1st through December 31st. One lucky rider will win a $500 credit at the brewery and $500 worth of Lyft credits, while one driver wins a $250 credit at the brewery, $500 in Lyft credits, and $250 in gas money. To enter, you have to be 21 years of age or older. For more information on the cans or to enter the sweepstakes, you just go to angelcitybrewery.com/Lyft. The Lyft code is valid until February 1st of next year or while supplies last. And it's, of course, subject to Lyft's terms of service. The maximum discount is $5 up to a $10 ride. This is really cool. I think more breweries should partner up with these ride-sharing services with Uber and Lyft. It makes all the sense in the world. Look, we encourage people to drink responsibly. We encourage people not to drink and drive. We have a lot more options now in getting around, Uber and Lyft being two of them. Obviously, taxi cabs here in New York City or a car service elsewhere, right? You have public transportation, buses and trains, but maybe a lot of breweries, especially in New Jersey, are not located near central hubs. They're not located near mass transit. So partnering up with an Uber or Lyft would be a smart idea. Hey, I want to go to, let's say, Demented, you know, or I want to go to Cypress is a good example because they're located off the beaten path. Kane is another perfect example. They're located off the beaten path. Carton is kind of in a main area, but you really need a car to get there. I mean, you could take a bus. You could probably take a bus down there. But again, for convenience sake, why not partner up with a ride-sharing service so that you get a discount, you know, on your first time? It doesn't have to be every time. But on your first time, to encourage people to come out to the brewery, you drink responsibly, and then you take the Lyft back to wherever you have to go. It's a smart idea. Kudos to Angel City Brewery for doing this. I think more people should do it to get them to drink responsibly. And finally, And our last bit of news and notes here before we take a break. Weyerbacher is doing a pumpkin fest this coming Saturday, October 20th, from noon to 8 p.m. They're going to have a special edition of arts, crafts, and drafts, fall-inspired craft projects for all age groups. You pay at the door. The Da Vinci Center will be making pumpkin ice cream, and more fun activities are being added. They're going to have music as well as food from Vince's Cheesesteaks, and you'll get to check out some of the different things from Weyerbacher that's going on in Eastern Pennsylvania. This is a great little brewery to go to. If you're living out in Jersey, out in West Jersey, and you want to check out something really cool, head over to Weyerbacher if you want. Go down to the Crayola Factory. The Crayola Factory is fun for the kids. But this is definitely something that if you're looking to do something during October, it's definitely worth the trip to head over to Weyerbacher. Again, very easily located right off of Route 78 in New Jersey and right over the border in Pennsylvania. By the way, Rico Guave will also be available at Weyerbacher. It is a 9% sour ale. That's going to be available Friday, October 19th. And then Reserva, the American Wild Ale, is going to be released. They have not given a release date yet, but it is coming very soon. So there's some good stuff coming from Weyerbacher. And, of course, the Pumpkin Fest, Saturday, October 20th, from noon to 8 p.m. And when we come back after a short break, we'll have some more news for you as we are just getting started on this program that focuses on that delicious beverage. And you know what it's made from: barley, hops, water, some other ingredients as well. This is the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer.
Joe Walsh is happy we gave the Democrats what they wanted.
This is the last card the Democrats had to play. This FBI investigation, it's it. This is all they've been calling for now the last 3 weeks, so give it to them. This is better that it worked out this way. We gave the Democrats their last bone. It's a good move.
The Joe Walsh Radio Program, weeknights at 9, right before Eric Metaxas at 11, on AM 970. The Answer.
If I say Mr. Italy, what comes to mind? To me and my family, Mr. Italy was, without a doubt, Mario Perillo. The Perillo family has been operating top-quality tours to Italy for over 74 years. They must be doing something right. Well, I say they're doing everything right. Carrying on the Perillo family tradition of excellence today is CEO Steve Perillo, making sure the business which carries his family name is nothing short of spectacular for each and every traveler. Consider the popular 14-day Italy North Classic Tour. Rome, Sorrento, Florence, Venice, and Milan. In one wonderful tour, you will see the heart of Italy and come home with memories that will last a lifetime. Maybe it's that special anniversary or a magical setting to renew your vows. That special person in your life deserves the best. Join Steve Perillo on a stress-free escorted vacation where you don't lift a finger. Call for the Perillo 2019 Italy brochure at 888-PERILLO. That's 888-PERILLO, P-E-R-I-L-L-O, or 888-737-4556, or visit PerilloTours.com. For simply the best travel experience of your life, Perillo Tours.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
How do Trump's policies affect small business? Where's cryptocurrency headed? Find out every Sunday afternoon at 1 on Newsmax TV's newest show, What's the Deal? Hosted by Wall Street entrepreneur John Tobacco. What's the Deal is a show unlike any other. It's where politics meets the economy. Catch John Tobacco and an array of special guests. Bypass the NFL and tune into Newsmax TV this Sunday afternoon at 1. Go to NewsmaxTV.com and find out how you can watch What's the Deal.
I get it. Your desk has been there for you, holding up your computer, your unused stapler, and that plant you forgot to water. But maybe it's time to leave your desk and spend your lunch break volunteering with Meals on Wheels.
Doing Meals on Wheels for me is the joy that I look for at the end of my week. I'll come to the door with one meal and I'll walk away with a full heart.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
All right, Welcome back to the Alcatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. This one's going to be a short segment here because we did a, or at least I did a very long interview that's coming up in just a couple of minutes from now with Chuck Garrity, who is the co-owner of Death of the Fox Brewing. And with all of the stuff that's been going on with the New Jersey Athletic Beverage Commission over the last several weeks about all these different rule changes that they wanted to make, then they had the rule changes in for a week, then they suspended the rule changes. I wanted to get the take of an owner that if the rules were implemented, how it would affect his business. And Chuck had a lot to say about it. And he comes up with a unique idea where I feel that legislation should be the way to go in fixing these things, maybe, you know, get somebody in at the NJABC that actually knows what they're doing, that can have that balance between restaurant and bar owners and the breweries. But Chuck has come up with a third option that you'll be interested to hear towards the end of the interview, and that's coming up in just a couple of minutes from now. So let's do this quick, short news segment here as we get to it. First up, Coronado Brewing sent me some new beers earlier in the week, which I'm very excited about. Eric Zuazo from Coronado, thanks for sending the beers over. Two new beers, both IPAs from Coronado, that are, one's a double IPA, the other one is a single IPA. The first one is Weekend Vibes. That is the San Diego-style IPA. It's a 6.8% ABV, and it's available in 16-ounce six-pack cans in a big 22-ounce bottle or on draft. And then the Never Better double IPA, which is an 8.1% ABV, and that is unfiltered. So the San Diego-style IPA is bursting with tropical dankness, according to the press release. It is everything that you want from a San Diego-style IPA, jam-packed with hop fruitiness, refreshingly dry. The Never Better IPA, this one has a vibrant blend of Vic Secret, Mosaic, and Citra, bursting with hop flavors of tropical mango, passion fruit, and resinous pine. One sip, and as they say, you'll go from good to never better. So I'm intrigued about this because I want to try these two beers over the weekend, and I will have a review on those coming up on next week's program. But here is the interesting thing. So there is this story that I got from Frank Morano, from a producer of another program, and he sent this over to me. Get this, the oldest brewery in the world that they discovered in Israel, of all places, 13,000 years old. Now, this is from the Times of Israel, and a 60-year-old archaeological debate is coming to a head. A new Stanford University study of three 13,000-year-old stone mortars offers the earliest known physical evidence of an extensive ancient beer brewing operation. Now, this is amazing. It's an international team of scientists discovered tested residue from the mortars, which were used by the semi-nomadic Natufians, I'm guessing the spelling, N-A-T-U-F-I-A-N-S, and they discovered it near a graveyard site called the Rakafet Cave in the Carmel Mountains near Haifa in Israel. And apparently they've discovered that this brewery is the oldest brewery in the world at 13,000 years old. This is remarkable. So apparently this comes on the heels of a July report. Archaeologists working in northeastern Jordan discovered the charred remains of bread baked by these same people some 11,600 to 14,600 years ago. And according to the Stanford scientists, the ancient beer residue comes from anywhere between just under 12,000 years and a little over 13,000 years old, potentially predating the bread. So it's obvious evidence that beer was one of the first produced things in the world, and this brewery is 13,000 years old. And it makes sense because beer was actually better to drink than the water. A lot of water was contaminated, and so they brewed beer in order to drink it to hydrate themselves. Now, again, it was a very low alcohol beer, didn't have a lot of content to it or taste to it in terms of that. But basically, beer and bread were created just around the same time. We've got a link to the article on our Craft Beer Cast page. We'll tweet a link out as well. But pretty, pretty cool when you think about it. But when we come back after a short break, Chuck Garrity, the co-owner of Death of the Fox Brewing down in Clarksboro, New Jersey, will join me. Lots of stuff going on about the New Jersey Athletic Beverage Commission, and Chuck gives his take as well. It's a great take. It's a long interview. Bear with me. It's a lot of fun. We had a good time talking about it. We got into some beers as well, but that's at the very end of the interview. But check it out. Coming up next on the Alcatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
It's partly cloudy and 55 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. An MTA bus driver is under arrest for exposing himself to two young girls in Brooklyn. Kristen Marks has the details.
The NYPD says Matthew Wolfart was taken into custody Sunday and charged with grand larceny, endangering the welfare of a child, and public lewdness. The 28-year-old is accused of driving up to a 14-year-old girl who was walking with a friend near Ridge Boulevard in Bay Ridge last Monday and asking for directions while exposing himself. Police believe he's the same man who, 3 days later, approached an 11-year-old girl sitting in a parked vehicle on Colonial Road and flashed himself while asking for directions to McDonald's. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio, New York.
Thank you, Kristen. And the Mega Millions jackpot is growing to an estimated $654 million for Tuesday's drawing. That would be the fourth largest lottery prize in U.S. history. Lottery officials said that there was no winner in Friday's drawing, which takes place in 44 states, including Washington, D.C., and the Virgin Islands. In sports, well, the Red Sox rallied over the Houston Astros. 7-5 was that final score in the American League Championship Series as it continues. Jets beat the Colts this afternoon, 42-34, and the Devils also beat the Sharks in the NHL. That final score was 3-2. Traffic delays are very minor now. There was an earlier accident Brooklyn bound at the Verrazano Bridge. That's all cleared. No residual delays. Pretty smooth sailing now at the GWB. In and out. Holland Lincoln tunnels are all a good ride, city bound. Once you're in town, Harlem River Drive also looks good from Fifth Avenue down towards Willis Avenue Bridge. Weather for tonight, partly cloudy with increasing clouds and then periods of showers later on, low 53. For tomorrow, clouds, periods of rain early on, highs reaching 70, and then on Tuesday, sunny along with a few afternoon clouds, high 59. You now know what's going on. I'm Amy Salerno on AM 970, The Answer.
This is Paul Rotella from the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. As seasons begin to change, are you prepared in the event of storms or other emergencies? The Federal Emergency Management Agency encourages everyone to take steps to prepare for emergencies in their homes, schools, businesses, and communities. A recent survey showed that although more than 75% of households have supplies set aside for disasters, less than 50% have a household emergency plan. It's important for every household to take preparedness steps, such as having an emergency supply kit, making a family emergency plan, being informed about the different emergencies that might affect you, having a portable radio and plenty of fresh batteries, and also taking steps to be trained and engaged in community preparedness and response efforts. We also need to have safe and reliable energy. And to deliver that safe and reliable service customers expect and deserve, your hometown energy team at JCP&L is investing more than $400 million to make its electric system more resilient to severe weather. Visit FEMA.gov/preparedness for more information. This message is sponsored by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association with funding provided by JCP&L and aired in cooperation with the NJBA and this state.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
All right, welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM970 The Answer. You can follow me on Twitter at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO. Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast via email, AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. And, of course, don't forget Google Play and iTunes. You just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast. You can download and listen to all these shows right there. And Alexa ready as well. So if you got an Alexa, just say, Alexa, I want to listen to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM970TheAnswer.com. And, boom, there it is. It will pop up, and you can listen to the show right from your Alexa unit. Now, my next guest, he runs a brewery and a coffee joint, the first of its kind in New Jersey, and they are in the same building. He's been outspoken the last several weeks due to the New Jersey ABC ruling that would have affected lots of breweries across the state of New Jersey if it hadn't been upheld for now. I'm saying it's kind of a pause right now because I do believe that there is going to be some change at some point, whether it comes legislatively or whether it comes from the New Jersey Alcohol Beverage Commission remains to be seen. DeathOfTheFoxBrewing.com is the website for more information. Let me welcome back Chuck Garrity to the Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Chuck, how are you?
How you doing, Al? Good to hear from you again. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Now, we're going to get to the craziness with the New Jersey ABC in a moment, but first, I've got to ask, how is the brewery and coffee house as a whole doing?
That's absolutely terrific. We've been open now for about a year and 2 months. We opened August of last year. And, you know, when we first opened, we were a completely new type of business and model for the area and the region. We're open 7 days a week, much more than most breweries. We're open 7 a.m. Because we are a coffee house. Right. And so that was, that, you know, I wasn't really, I was confident, but I wasn't really sure how it was going to work out. And it's been absolutely wonderful. We've been embraced by the community. The coffee business is terrific. People love their coffee in the morning and at night and the afternoons and the evening, in addition to the beers, of course, and the beers are my primary focus. And, you know, I'm thrilled to say that I'd say when we first opened, it was a little bit of a struggle because we only had a month to brew up after we got the approval from the ABC to right. our opening. So, you know, for 2 or 3 months, we had, I would say, less than 6 beers on tap. I guess maybe a common issue with the new brewery opening up, but I'm proud to say now we have 16 taps full, and it's just, we have a great variety of both flagships and seasonals. And we're gearing up for the fall. We have our Oktoberfest. We have a couple of pumpkins and maple and apple beers coming. So it's just a really exciting time. And truly, I have to say, the community and everybody around us, and other businesses, that's the most fun part of it, because we've just been embraced and we're loving every day.
That's awesome. And we're going to talk about some of those beers that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. But as we've mentioned here over the last several weeks, the Alcohol Beverage Commission of New Jersey decided a few weeks back to institute changes in the way that you guys conduct your business. How would these new rules, if they were implemented, hurt your business specifically?
Well, yeah, you know, we do the majority of our sales through our tap room, through our tasting room. And we feel that, you know, that is something that makes us unique. That is something that you go to other states and you see that, you know, especially Pennsylvania, right. Delaware, New York, you know, have many breweries that have this same model. Mm-hmm. We have events, at least 2 to 3 events a week, sometimes more than that. This week we have, I think, 4 or 5. So what happens is we partner with many other businesses and charities and, you know, whether they be a local, you know, a DJ spinning vinyl, local musicians, you know, yoga studios, paint and sip, that type of thing. Tonight we have a yoga night. I mean, and, so it's really, yeah, it's a central part of what we do to be able to bring people into our establishment, and not being able to have those events or severely limiting those events would be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. It's just our model. It's our business model. It's very forward thinking and progressive. And it's something that has worked.
Yeah. And again,
one of the biggest, go ahead.
Well, I mean, to me, you're not a bar. Like, I know the argument that everybody is having is, well, they're acting as a de facto bar, but you're not. You can't serve alcohol. You can't serve food. You're serving beer. And that strikes me as a bit odd as to why they're and I get it, why the restaurant owners and the bar owners are upset, because they pay so much for their liquor license. You guys don't, but you're offsetting that by the fact that you have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment that, you know, is devalued over time the moment you buy it. And I equated it like as if you're buying a car. When you buy a car and you spend $20,000 on a car, the moment you drive that car off the lot, it's not worth $20,000 anymore. It depreciates in value, much like your brewery equipment, whereas the restaurant and bar owner, their liquor license can go up in value depending on what happens. So one of the things that bothers me about this whole, you know, these regulations that they wanted to implement was the fact that, okay, you can only hold up to 52 events at your brewery, but they wanted a list of the people that were actually there and you had to provide it to the state. That strikes me as odd. That constitutes a privacy issue. Don't you agree?
And unfortunately, during that week,
during that 1 week where the law was technically in place, we were approached by two different we're approached all the time about private events. Mm-hmm. But I had to tell them that per the law, we have to provide your attendance list to the state in addition to how much was consumed at the event.
Right.
And both were said, you know what, maybe we'll step back. We're not comfortable with that. And so I'm looking at potential lost business just based on the week that it was enacted. Now I was able to, hopefully I'm working on getting one of those parties back. I think the other one went somewhere else.
That's insane.
That led to a direct loss of business for us.
Right. And then we're talking about,
we'll disclose that honestly. And I completely agree. I mean, it is such a privacy violation. Why should anything like that be provided to the state?
Right. Talking with Chuck Garrity here, the founder and president of Death of the Fox Brewing, and they're located in Clarksboro, New Jersey, here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So David Ribble, the guy, or Ribble, however you pronounce his name, the guy who runs the NJABC, says, or basically a spokesperson said, that they reached out to many of the craft breweries in the state, you know, when they were enacting this and putting this together, and then in their press release, when they said it was being upheld for now until they can figure things out. Chuck, I'm going to ask you directly. Were you contacted by the NJABC to participate in any event to discuss rule changes?
Well, we actually reached out. So we reached out to but the thing is, I guess I'll take a step back. Mm. So the Brewers Associations, both the Guild and the Brewers Association, there's two, one representing the larger breweries, one representing medium to smaller sized breweries, were both at the table for months with the ABC.
Okay.
That is absolutely true. The thing about that is they, for the most part, represent medium to large sized breweries, especially compared to what we call, you know, Main Street small
microbreweries. Right. Macro.
Yeah. Even smaller than that.
Right.
You know, the ones that really depend on their tasting room for the majority of their revenues. We were not at the table. Breweries our size were not at the table negotiating this, and we were very alarmed by it. So what I did was form a consortium of, I guess, five or six very similar downtown breweries. I expressed my concern to the NJBA. And we basically took things into our own hands and contacted our legislators and set up a meeting in July directly between us and Director Rival and also the Attorney General's office. Mm-hmm. So we did sit down and have one meeting. We basically predicted exactly what was going to happen in terms of the public backlash, the issues, and especially, and the thing is, what happened after that meeting is we had a rough draft that was provided by the Brewers Association to us. The final ruling was actually much more strict and punitive than the draft that we even had in July.
Wow.
So when we sat down, expressed our concerns, we thought things, you know, we were getting a voice and we thought things would potentially improve. And it actually went the other way.
So essentially they took your, I'm sorry to interrupt, but essentially they took your ideas, they took your concerns, and they basically threw them out the window and said, no, this is what we're going to do.
Exactly. And so a great example of that is on the earlier version, there was no limitation on private events. It was unlimited. Mm-hmm. I would say, but then they came back and limited the private events and also required the guest lists and all of that. You know, we had major concerns about the removing of the menus, because the menus, number one, it's a great convenience to our customers. Right. Of course, they have cell phones and they can dial up any. But the thing about it is just having the paper menus, especially for our older customers and things like that, it's just a nice convenience. They can order in. And it's helping out other businesses.
Yeah, they're restricting business as opposed to promoting business.
Right. But the interesting thing is that most of those restaurants that have those menus do not have an alcohol license, pizza places, you know, Asian restaurants, things like that.
Right.
So I think that, you know, when we talk about restaurants, the ones that were really pushing this rule, we have to understand that the restaurants, these are restaurants that have a liquor license.
Yep. Read between the lines there.
So,
yeah.
So too bad. Just like, and in a way, I feel that, you know, just like the downtown and Main Street breweries were kind of the ignored stepchild of this legislation, I kind of feel on the restaurant side, you know, the smaller restaurants or the ones that, that do not have a liquor license really got the short end of the straw when it came and actually, you know, had their businesses impacted because, you know, we had to remove all their menus.
Right.
They drop off the menus every week.
Right. No, 100%. It hurts their businesses, and that's not good. We're talking with Chuck Garrity. He's the founder and president of Death of the Fox Brewing, located in Clarksboro, New Jersey, on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Chuck, I've put up this premise before on the show over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to ask you, and I want to get your opinion on it. Do you agree or disagree with the premise that these rule changes should be legislated on by the folks in Trenton and make clear-cut rules as to what you can or cannot do in the confines of a brewery, or do you think the New Jersey ABC should be making these rules?
I will throw out a third option, which I think is probably most realistic. Number one, I really feel like that, you know, the basic groundwork needs to come through the legislature as opposed to, you know, one individual at the ABC, at Department of ABC, which I will also remind you that that position has changed five times in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what's really frustrating as a business owner and a brewery owner is that there could be, you know, a new ABC director after direct arrival who has a completely different take on the intent of the legislation. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly all of our business models change again.
Right.
So that's way too variable for me. So it already has been,
right,
because there was already pushback because of the fact that we are a coffee house as well, and that took a lot of work to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's no way to run a business. And you know, that position is appointed all the time, and it's a revolving door, I guess you would say. So it needs to come through the legislature. But I will say that the third option is what's probably most realistic is that this should lie with the municipalities at the local level, just like municipalities. You know, and say whether their town is dry or not, or what hours bars and restaurants can be open, and what can happen based on the culture and based on how, you know, progressive or conservative that that community is. Well, that's, you know, then the breweries know, okay, well, this community is open to us, and or this, you know, let's not invest in this community because it doesn't seem like they really want a brewery.
Mm.
Although it seems like a lot of these municipalities, they're all standing in line right now because they know about the positive impact. But I really feel that most of this needs to live at the local level where, you know, it's they really know exactly what is going to fit in their town. So I think that that's the thing that I would hope the legislature would, and I think that they are considering that as far as I hear, pushing this down to the local level.
Chuck, I think that's a great idea, and I think the municipalities, I think, would love it because you're right. A lot of them do want these breweries in their towns because they know that it brings in money to that particular town, depending on the brewery, depending on the size of the town. It's definitely, I think, something that should be considered. Last question from me, Chuck. We're into October now. What kind of beers do you have coming out for the winter?
Yeah, so right now we are just we're rolling out our we have a big Oktoberfest coming up over the next week. So we are our seasonals. We have a maple porter. We have two pumpkin ales, one lighter called Scrumptious Pumpkins, and then a darker one. And then we start getting into Thanksgiving. We have a cranberry Kolsch coming. And then getting into our winter beers. We have one called Not My Gumdrop Button, which is a gingerbread stout, which was really popular last year. We have some darker beers, our Doppelbox, and things like that coming, some holiday, one or two, like spicy kind of, you know, holiday ales coming. So, we're really excited about the fall is a great time for us. And, we really like kind of getting creative. We like having a balance of both lagers and ales. And as I said, you know, we have 16 full taps now, so a great variety.
There's definitely a beer for everybody's palate, right?
Yeah. I we get that feedback a lot. You know, and a lot of times people think that craft beer, you know, especially those novices think that all craft beer is heavy and dark and that type of thing.
Right.
And we say, you know, just because it's craft doesn't mean it shouldn't be balanced and drinkable. And really that's right in our logo. It's clarity and balance. That's kind of what we strive for.
That's awesome. My guest has been Chuck Garrity, the founder and president of Death of the Fox Brewing. They're located in Clarksboro, New Jersey. Deathofthefoxbrewing.com is the website for more information here on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Chuck, thanks so much for joining me tonight. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks, Al. Talk to you soon.
You got it. When we come back, it's time for Suds and Duds, and that's next on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer.
Let's face it, we love Alexa, and we love to let her find your favorite radio station. This one, of course. We love it, too, when she finds us. But she could find us easier if we taught her a simple skill. To get started, simply say,
Alexa, enable the Answer New York skill.
After she confirms, you can then say,
Alexa, play the Answer New York.
That's all you have to do, and Alexa will learn how to find us. You can listen to us through your Amazon Echo, Echo Show, Echo Dot, and Amazon Tap devices. Alexa, what is your favorite radio station?
That's easy. AM 970, The Answer.
Did you know that studies have shown that we need over 10 servings of fruits and veggies every single day? If you're like me, it's hard to find the time and money to prepare and eat all of those fruits and vegetables. Who can do that? Yet we know that proper nutrition can prevent health problems, give us energy, and help us heal faster. Balance of Nature has spent over 20 years researching and delivering solutions to this problem. We can ensure that you consume over 30 different fruits and veggies every single day. Our capsules are filled with 100% real whole foods. There isn't a single thing added to Balance of Nature products. They're pure. We spent an incredible amount of time on the quality of our products. We do this for you. We do it for our own families. Give yourself a break and give your body what it needs. Call now to receive 35% off your first Balance of Nature order. Call 1-800-2468-751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code The Answer.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Segment of the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. You can follow me on Twitter at Algatulo, Instagram at Gatulo. That's GATTULLO. Facebook.com/AG Craft Beer Cast. Of course, via email at AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. That's AlbertG@NYCRadio.com. Google Play and iTunes. Just do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast, and you can download and listen to the Craft Beer Cast on those two platforms. We are also Alexa ready. Just say to your Alexa, Alexa, I want to hear the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. And there you go. You get to hear it on your Alexa unit as well. A little chicken foot there. The boys, Sammy and the boys, they played last weekend. Was their big Huntington Beach cars and music and food bash that Sammy Hagar put on. I heard it was a really good time. That would have been a very cool event to go to out in Huntington Beach, California, just to see all the classic cars that they had set up. The music, obviously, there was a lot of great bands, not only Sammy and Chickenfoot, but a lot of other bands as well. I think REO Speedwagon played and a bunch of others. Would have been a really cool event to go and check out. But let's get into Suds and Duds. That is our segment where I discuss the various beers that I've had over the past week. And I tell you whether I like them, which would be a suds, or if I didn't like them, and that would be a dud. And I'm back in kind of the drinking game again. I took a couple of weeks off just to kind of reset the palate a little bit. But I'm back out again trying and sampling different beers. So first off, thank you to a lot of the breweries that send beer to me so that I can try them for review. I very much appreciate that. And also, it's great to get out and get to the various pubs and stuff to check out all the different things that are going on. That is that's even more important. You know, it's great to be able to sit at home and try different things. But to be honest with you, when you can actually interact with people, and we as a society don't do that as much these days. So, it's a good to get out there amongst the people, as they say. All right, so let's kick it off. One of my favorite places to go to when I want to sample some really great beer and eat some delicious food. Paragon Tap and Table, right off of the Garden State Parkway, exit 135 in Clark, New Jersey. Started off with the cuvée from Brouwer. I know I'm getting that wrong. It's a really good, sour, puckery, yet smooth going down beer. Kind of a little more of a wine taste than a beer taste. And again, as I've been telling everybody over the last couple of weeks, couple of months, I've been enjoying sours a lot more now. I missed Paragon Sour Night because I wasn't drinking at the time, but they had one of them still left on tap, so I was able to sample it, and it is very, very good. A really good beer. The cuvée. You definitely want to check that out. It's spelled C-U-V-E-E. Definitely want to check that out if it is on tap at your favorite establishment. And then what happened about a week and a half ago, actually almost 2 weeks ago, my buddy Brian from Peerless Beverage had shot me a message and said, listen, we're doing an Oktoberfest thing at Paragon. Would love for you to stop by. If you're available, you're in the area, you want to come by. So, of course, being that Paragon is only a couple minutes from my house, I said, you know what, let me go over. Haven't seen Brian in a couple of months. I definitely want to check out what they're having. And, of course, he goes, I'm buying. I'll buy the first round. All right, well, you're buying the first round, I'm there. So what's really cool is they had a number of different beers there from a number of different breweries to celebrate Oktoberfest. One of the ones that I found really delicious was the collaboration between Sierra Nevada and Vine & Stefana. This Oktoberfest is really good. Caramel flavors, the malt, very, very smooth going down. A really good Oktoberfest beer. And Sierra Nevada and Vine & Stefana have been collaborating on a number of different things. I encourage you to get this. Now, obviously, it's only on tap for a short while. I know they start putting the Oktoberfest and the pumpkin beers out in August, and I can never drink a pumpkin beer. First of all, it's very rare that I drink a pumpkin beer to begin with. But to be honest with you, August is way too early for me to sample a pumpkin beer. Maybe an Oktoberfest, depending. Sometimes it gets, you know, they get that one day where it's cool in August. You know, maybe I'd have one. But honestly, September, October is the months really to enjoy those Oktoberfest beers, even into November. I mean, you can pretty much drink an Oktoberfest beer up to November, you know, the end of Thanksgiving. Then you want to start kicking in with winter and December, and you want to get into those darker beers, the stouts and the porters, that's fine. But the Oktoberfest from Vine & Stefana in Sierra Nevada is definitely one that you want to check out. Then I had, let's see, what was the other one? Oh, from Brooklyn Brewery. Now, this was really good, the Oktoberfest. Ended up meeting up with one of the reps, Alex, who we've had on the program before. He was with us at Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza just off of Route 4. God, was that that was a year ago in April that we did that little broadcast where we had Brooklyn beers pairing up with different pizzas from Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza. This was great. The malt flavor was good. Again, another smooth beer going down. Oktoberfest beers are really, really, they're really hard to screw up. Let's put it that way, right? I mean, this is a really good beer. And again, another consistently good beer from Brooklyn Brewery. Enjoyed it immensely. In fact, I think I like it a little bit more than the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. And Sam Adams, to those folks, thanks for sending me a bunch of the beers for October. I am going to get to try them. I'm probably trying them this coming weekend, and then I'll review them hopefully on next week's program because I want to get them out of the way. Because, you know, they do have a shelf life, so you don't want to have them sitting for too long. But that, the Brooklyn Oktoberfest, the 2018, very, very good. Highly encourage it. Now, Alex had suggested to me, if I liked sours, to try one particular sour that they had on tap, the Bel Air Sour. And as he described it, and I will agree with him on this one, this was the Bel Air Sour by Brooklyn Brewery. It tasted like a Sour Patch Kid without the sweetness. Really, really enjoyed it. it kind of had that sour pucker, but sometimes the sour gets a little sweet. That didn't do this on this one. It was just a nice, easygoing, and as he said it, Alex, an approachable sour. Kettle sour, one that you can kind of give to somebody that really isn't into sours and kind of introduce them to it. We've talked about this before. That's the other thing with sours. It takes time for your palate to adjust to anything that you try that's new. Charlie Bachman from, Cypress Brewing over in Edison had said that in an interview not too long ago. It takes your palate between 8 and 10 times for you to enjoy a particular beer or anything food-wise, okay? So you got to keep trying until you figure out, all right, you know what? I really don't like this. And I used this example with my son the other day about broccoli rabe. Broccoli rabe is a bitter vegetable. People put lots of garlic in it and stuff to kind of cut that bitterness. But you have to eat broccoli rabe a number of times in order to get used to it if you really like it. You might not like it after 4 or 5 tries. But again, he's saying, Charlie, you got to try something between 8 and 10 times in order to figure out if you like it or not. So I will subscribe to that theory because I didn't like sours for a long time, and now all of a sudden I do. Now, I thought it was the change because of the chemo and the radiation that I had, and that could be because of my cancer. Could be, but not 100% sure. So definitely have to check that out. But the Bel Air Sour, a kettle sour by Brooklyn Brewery, you definitely want to check that out. It is really good. As we continue on here in our Suds and Duds segment on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer, Wet Ticket Brewing has put out a new IPA, a New England style. Excellent. They had it on tap over at Paragon, and definitely got a chance to try it. The Never Too Late, and honestly, this one might be one of the best IPAs they've produced. Juicy, a little pineapple, got a little bit of that fruit flavor in there. Really, really good. And again, I like the juicy beers. I'm all right with juicy beers. It's not the norm for me with IPAs. I want that bitter bite, but this one is really good. And I've talked about it before. Wet Ticket is knocking it out of the park with their beers. And plain and simple, if you haven't been to Rahway yet, if you haven't checked out Wet Ticket, I encourage you to do so. Take the ride over on the train. It's 5-6 stops on New Jersey Transit. It is really worth it if you're coming from the city. I highly recommend it. And then finally, I had the Double Barrel Ale by Firestone Walker at a new restaurant that Chef Eric Levine is partnering up with. It's called Mr. Krabby's. Mr. Krabby's Craft Kitchen and Bar. And I'll tell you, the chef is knocking it out of the park. Very seafood heavy. Had a char-grilled octopus that they grilled in their brick oven. It was fantastic with an ancho chili sauce, potatoes, and chorizo. It was excellent. And the Double Barrel Ale by Firestone Walker is made specifically for Mr. Krabby's. Nice and mild, decent amount of bitterness. Again, like I said, it's made for the restaurant. Excellent. This is a great place in Randolph, New Jersey, just off of Route 10. If you have not had a chance, they got a big parking lot, big area, big room in the restaurant. Make their own desserts. I posted a picture on Instagram of all the stuff that we had. It was fantastic. You definitely want to check this place out, Mr. Krabby's and Chef Eric Levine and his great food. And then finally, to wrap it up, the Rise Up Rye by Gun Hill Brewing. We had Chef Zion last week, and we had Dave Lopez on from Gun Hill Brewing. Got a chance to try this rye saison. Light, spiced, very good, slight peach flavor. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it. And thank you to Chef Z and Holly Garman for bringing me the Rise Up Rye. This was an excellent beer and well-deserving of a bronze medal in the rye category at the Great American Beer Festival just a couple of weeks ago. But, folks, we are out of time. My thanks to Darren Yellen, Jerry Crowley, Phil Boyce, Chuck Garrity from Death of the Fox Brewing, and, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, cheers, everybody.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.